Good morning, Saints. Let me encourage you this morning. Spring forward, right? Isn't everybody excited? The excitement, spring forward. Doesn't that sound like something exciting, spring forward? And we're like, okay, spring forward. That's okay, though. Glad we're here this morning, amen? God's word for us this morning is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 23. I ask you to turn there with me. Get your notes out. Get your out of your bulletin, the notes that you have there to take notes with, and get your Bibles turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 23. Turning there, the message that we're going to look at today I've entitled, "We Are God's Building," and we're going to do some construction work. You guys can kind of look at some of that today and just help us with some visuals. I give you some visuals to really kind of help put this in our heart and mind, what God is talking to us about. You know what he's talking to us about? Our life. It's the Word of God. It's talking to us about our life, about who he is, why he came, what he did, and then us putting our faith in Christ, how we're to live our life by the effects of salvation in our life. That's what God is talking about in the Word of God. His church, the body of Christ, the family of God, each of us individually living for the Lord. Paul is continuing here, and when he's in chapter 3 here, verse 10 through 23, he's continually teaching about the oneness of the body of Christ. The oneness of the church. We've been talking about it for weeks, and let me just put that back in your mind. He's talking about our oneness. He brings it right down to local congregation about us, our unity, our togetherness. He has been since chapter 1, verse 10. So it's an important thing here that God has been talking a lot about here. Now, we've went over a lot of this. The Corinthians had some things out of order, and he's correcting those kind of things. And it's important there for us to recognize that the Word of God here is correcting some things that were out of order in the body of Christ in the church. They had division. They were divided in ways, and we've looked at many, many things on how that was going on here. But here, Paul is talking to us about being one. That's what he's talking about. And then the previous lesson that we looked at, let me just kind of refresh your mind and bring it back to where we are in the Word of God. The previous lesson, 2 weeks ago, Paul taught using a metaphor of agriculture. Now, a lot of farmers here, and all of you guys know how to grow your own tomatoes and your own corn and your own things, right? Most of us understand agriculture. We understand growing a plant. Paul taught using this metaphor. He said that we, as a church family, are God's field. We're God's cultivated land. That's what we looked at 2 weeks ago. And us being God's cultivated land, God calls us farm laborers in the cultivated land. Now, you can see the metaphor just building upon what he's talking about. We're farm laborers, and the body of Christ, the church family, are God's cultivated land, and so we're to plant and water. And that's what we do. That's what he said our life is, as farm laborers, planting and watering in each other's lives. God's truth, God's way, God's wisdom, loving, caring for each other, confronting each other, comforting each other, admonishing one another, correcting each other, serving each other. That's the planting and watering. Now, once you be reminded of something that we looked at 2 weeks ago, God causes the growth. We can water and we can plant and we can do the things that God asks us to do, and we do that unto the Lord, but it's God causing the growth. We're talking about the growth of the body of Christ in our maturity, that God causes the growth. Now, think with me. You have a plant on your patio, and you fertilize it and you water it and you change the dirt and all that kind of thing. How long would it grow if God did not cause the growth? It doesn't grow, does it? It dies. Because God is over all of this, and what he's telling us is we do the things that God wants us to do in this life, that he tells us to do, instructs us to do, commands us to do, guides us to do, to live the life that he has. But God is at work in our life, growing us in our faith, growing us in our walk with the Lord, growing us in serving him in the way we live. He's planting and watering. That's what we're doing in each other's lives. God's causing the growth. And in the world, as God's farm laborers, we plant and water the seeds of the gospel. And if anything grows out of the dead ground, God caused the growth. We affirm that as a church. We affirm that as a body of Christ. That's what it is. This is what Paul is getting to in the church, talking to us about. We are one together in this, he said, as God's fellow workers. And we ended last time with our work is not in vain because it's in the Lord. That's of great hope. It's not a waste of time. Even though we may not visually see some of the things that we would want to see, God says it's not a waste of time. It's not in vain. The outcome is his. Now here in verse 9, look at the text with me. At the end of verse 9, Paul says, we are God's building. Just change the metaphors. So verses 10 through 23 are all about a building. And they want you to grab hold of a building. This is God's word, God's truth to us about our life. And he wants to teach us, and I got the metaphor of agriculture, now we're moving to architecture. Okay? That's all he's doing here. And if you don't think about building, if you don't think about what it takes to construct and how all that goes on, you kind of miss what he's talking about here. They carry the metaphor, 10 through verse 23, all carries the metaphor that he's talking about. God is in the construction business, okay? We are the fellow builders, building, working within the building, working on us, working in our own individual lives. God is still the one that causes the growth. He causes the project to expand, to fit together, to come together, to function properly, and we are his laborers. We're swinging the hammer. We get to swing the hammer. We get to saw the wood. We get to haul the material. But you get the picture, right? So let me just kind of help you with the picture, okay, just for 1 second here, because if I wore this the whole time, that'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? As I stumbled around on stage and all that kind of stuff, but I want you to visualize what we're looking at today. You are a construction worker. Let me see if I can get the belt. Got to lose a little more weight. No. There we go. Now I'm smashing the headset, the whole thing on here. But what I wanted you to see is what you look at. This is what we want to visualize in our life. This is what God wants us to see in the text. What he wants us to see is that we are co-workers with God. We're construction workers. God is building. You got to have your hard hat on. You got to swing your hammer. Where is it? It's over here hitting me in the back of my leg. I'm going to take this off because this could get dangerous. And I could hook up all the sound stuff and all of that. But I want you to visually see this. So, you know, we have a building up here. We have gold, silver, precious stones. We have wood, hay, and straw. We have a saw. We have the things here. That's what I want you to see in what we're talking about here. You know, if you're going to build something, let me ask you, do you need to know what the project is? You just don't go out in the middle of the dirt and say, oh, I'm just going to build something. You don't start hammering things together and put it like, I'll decide what it's going to be after I'm kind of halfway done building it, right? We got to know the project. The project. What's the project, church? What are we laboring for? The word of God's very clear. I mean, it was shared today in the things that you shared. We labor for something that is of value that God has us laboring for. We labor for God's church, God's building. That's what we're to build. That's what we're building here. That's what God is doing. The laboring is the growth of God's people. That would be one of it. That's the laboring. That's what we're building. Do you know God wants you to mature and grow? And he's got some people in your life with a hammer and a saw helping you, swinging it, cutting some things off, pruning some things in your life. You can think of all the metaphors. Some of us need to be hit on our big toe real hard sometimes, huh? To grow the saints, to mature us. That's what God's word is doing. That's what God is doing. And I'm just trying to get you to grab the metaphor here, what he's talking about. The laboring is to growth in the growth of God's people, and the laboring is addition to God's people, to people becoming God's people. Using the metaphor here, look at it this way. Laboring to mature, perfect, do the finishing work to the building. Now, you guys know somewhat of the building. How many of you know that you have baseboards around the bottom of your house, inside your house? Raise your hand if you know you have baseboards, right? That's finished work, right? Okay, and you got some cabinets in the bathroom. You got some cabinets in the kitchen. You got some windows in. See, the foundation is Christ. We'll get it to it. We've been saved. God's asked us to participate with him in some of the finishing work. He's building some cabinets in our life. He's laying some carpet. He's putting some roof on in the building metaphor. And he's asked you to participate in it. That's what he's talking about here. And then there's some addition going on. There's some addition going on to the building. That's salvation. That's what's going on. Using the metaphor, what he's talking about, we're laboring to make additions to the building. Salvation, sanctification, salvation. The words never change. The metaphors help us to understand what he's saying. But we're all at the work in each other's life. Sanctification, growing us to the body of Christ. Salvation, people coming to the Lord. Listen, the project's God's. He's the one who decided the church age. He's the one who decided Christ would come, that it was going to be all this. And it's done when the Lord Jesus returns. So Paul here takes this statement that he makes at the end of verse 10 or at 9 that we are God's building, and he tells us, hey, the foundation's laid, this construction's going on, the work will be tested by fire. God is serious about his building, so we must build according to his plan, and we must build with the right motive, or we might say with the right purpose. And that's what Paul's talking about. Do you know you build something upon your life in Christ every single day? What are you building? That's what he's getting to. Now, we'll look into the text a little bit more. Let me move along here. Look at the text with me. Now, with that said, that's set in our mind, thinking about construction and all of that. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to what God says. Now you're ready to put this in the framework of what we're talking about. Look at that. I used another building word. Here he ends in here, you're God's building. We are God's building. Listen to what he says, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul is saying this about himself, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and others building on it. Each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire, and fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And if any man's work is, which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God, for it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise. They are useless. So then, let no one boast in men. For all things belong to you, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or of life, or of death, or things present, or things to come. All things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. You can see he's addressing something going on in their life. But you heard the building metaphor, didn't you? Now, since we are God's building, it's good to know that the foundation has been laid, right? We're not laying another one. It's been laid. Look at verse 10 and 11. Look at what he says. The foundation's been laid. Verse 10 and 11, Paul says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder. We know Paul. Paul is an apostle beginning the foundation, teaching Christ, saying Christ is Lord and Savior. He's building the foundation that people are believing on Christ, the foundation. He's building the foundation of the church. And it's on Christ. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. That's what he says. No man can lay a foundation other than the one which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to get this point here. The foundation is Jesus Christ. You guys see it up here? Can everybody see that? So this thing that I'm standing on is the foundation of the building. You're the building. We're not talking about the structure, these lights. You guys understand that. The body of Christ, the church, is the people. You are the building in the metaphor. And God is building on you. He is doing some finishing work in your life, and he's making some additions. He's bringing other people into the building. And then God asks you to participate in the building. So, you know what? Look to your person to your left, if there's somebody to your left. Guess what? You're supposed to be in this construction business, helping that person with their life as God is building in their life. How are you building? Wood, stray, or haw? Or wood, hay, or straw? Gold, silver, precious stones. That's the simplicity of the passage. But you're building every day. You're building every day. That's what he's talking about here. That's pretty confronting. It kind of gets to our heart and mind when we look at that and think of that. Wow, you know, God's pretty serious about this. The foundation is Christ. Any building built upon that foundation is God's building. Get this. Any building built not on that foundation, not God's building. Wow. But that's true. That's what it says. Same for the individual life. If your life is built upon Christ, you're God's people. If it's not built upon Christ, the truth of Christ, who he is, why he came, what he did, you're not God's people. This is pretty much what God's word is teaching. Proclaiming the word of God, the truth of God. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24 and following, if you act upon my words, the truth of who I am, what he taught in all of the Sermon on the Mount, the truth of him, why he came, what he did, and who he was, he said, if you act upon those, your life will be upon the rock. If you don't, it'll be upon the sand. And when the storm comes, you'll sink. Very simple teaching. And if it's on Christ, when the storm comes, you'll stand. The foundation is Christ and Christ alone. It's not any other thing. We don't build a church. We don't build our lives upon other things. You can, but it's not the foundation. Paul said in Ephesians 2:19, turn your Bibles over there with me. 2:19. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. We're going to Ephesians 2:19. What I'm going to ask you to do is take something, take your glasses, take something, and mark in Ephesians. Put a pencil in there, a piece of paper. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go Ephesians, 1 Corinthians. We're going to go for Ephesians, 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back and forth. But it's important to go back and forth so you see what Paul is talking about here and applies to our life. So I'm going to ask you to mark somewhere, somehow, in Ephesians. Because if you don't do that and I go back and forth, you're just going to say, ah. So I'm asking you to do that. But listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 2, 19 through 20. Here he is. Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians. He's the one writing. Listen to what he wrote to the churches here. After there's talks to them that now in Christ, who were far off and been brought near the Lord, salvation in Christ. We all, through Christ, we both have our access to one Spirit, to God the Father. He's brought all these people together. Listen to what he says in 19. He says, so then you are no longer strangers or aliens. We're not strangers or aliens, but you are, what are we? We're fellow citizens with the saints. We're all fellow citizens of heaven. We're all fellow citizens. We have the same passport, in a sense, you want to say, to heaven. We're all citizens in heaven together, and that's what he's talking about. And he says, this is what we are, and are of God's household. Now, that's what it is. We're of God's household. If you're a believer in Christ and trusted in Christ, you're part of God's household. You belong to his house. See the metaphor of building? Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says next. Having been built on the foundation of apostles, the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. See, the prophets spoke about Jesus. The apostles taught about Jesus. Christ came. He is the foundation. There's nothing other than Christ to be the foundation of our individual lives, of your individual homes, and of the body of Christ. That's the foundation. Now back to 1 Corinthians. Paul says, and construction is going on. Back to 1 Corinthians, look what he said in verse, I wrote down here in verse 10. Look at the end of verse 10. In 1 Corinthians, listen to what he says. He says this, I laid a foundation, another is building on it. Construction is going on. The end of verse 10, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. Verse 12, not if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. You guys see that right in there, right? Construction's going on. Each man's work will become evident. That's what he says. Yours will. Each one of yours will. All of us will. We're not hiding from anything. When Christ returns, God will see it all. Now, whatever goes on, whatever it is, God's going to know it all. He's going to see it all. He knows why you're building what you're building. He knows what you're doing. He knows why you're living. He knows what you're living for. He knows what you're building upon the foundation. He knows it all. That's what Paul is wanting to show here. He knows everything that's going on. Construction's going on. Each of us plays a part in the construction. Now back to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 2. This is very encouraging. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 21 and 22. Listen to what God says about this construction going on. Here's what God says. Having been built on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, we're together as citizens in heaven, God's household on the foundation of Christ. Listen to what he says. In whom, Christ Jesus, the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Do you know what? God is at work building the building together. Do you know that? Each and every day, God is at work building the building together into a holy, in a holy temple of the Lord, into a dwelling of God in the Spirit is how he says it. That's what he's talking about. Now look at Ephesians 2:10. And I know I'm bouncing in some things here, but I want you to see the construction. Now look at Ephesians 2:10. This is the word of God and how it goes together. Look at Ephesians 2:10. He says this, for by grace we have been saved, not as a gift, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works. It says this in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Do you hear what he just said? We're God's craftsmanship. And God has given us good works that he prepared beforehand. Guess what? The good works isn't, I did one last week, I'll do another good work next week. The good works are every single day. Do you know that God, you're in the construction business every single day and you built upon this foundation? Your life upon the foundation of Christ, the body of Christ, and corporately, he's talking about the church here, that we live in a way that God is using us for us to build the building on the foundation of Christ, and we do it every day. The good works that he prepared beforehand is that you would live for him today and each and every day that you live. Let me put this home with you. This is in your job. This is in your t-ball coaching. This is in working on the field. This is in your college career. This is in your relationships with you have with the people that you have in your classes. This is with the way that in your job or profession that you have and the relationships that you have with them. This is in the body of Christ that God placed you in, immersed you in the moment that you got saved. This is God's business. This is God's thing. This is what God's doing, and you build upon something each and every day by the way that you choose to live your life. You build upon Him. You're building His church, His body of Christ. That's God's word. That's what He's talking about. This is every day. One day it will all be revealed by fire. It'll go right through the fire. Everything that you've done, everything that you've lived, every attitude that you had, everything that you went through and all that. Now, we all know we're all imperfect and God's working in all of our lives. But you see what I'm trying to get to today and what Paul is getting to? Do you know today matters? It mattered as much as yesterday and will matter if you are here as much as tomorrow. And in some way, shape, or form, God is using the way you live your life to build. Well, He's the one that's in charge of how it's built, you know, on the outcome of it. He's just asked us to participate in it. I think that encourages us. Because you know what? You are important exactly today. If you can't make it to church, we have some that are at home. Dolan has broke her ankle. She can't, you know, her physical health doesn't. God's not worried about that. He said, Dolan, will you live for me here? Will you build here? Will you be into construction work here? God's got all of that. That's all it is about, is you and how you and you viewing the truth of God's word. It's a little tough in America sometimes because we view that we're living in a certain way for us. God is wanting to help us to see, you know what, you live for God every day. And it matters to God, and He's not mad about it. He's trying to help you see the truth, and you'll live for what He wants you to live for. It's much more an incredible life. It is. I get all worked up and worried and stressed out when God always shows me, yeah, you're living for you, Ken. It's pretty stressful living for you because you're not sovereign over anything. It is. It's a hard life. You guys understand that? We freak out. We got any freak outs here? Come on, you guys. Anybody with me? I'm the only one that stresses out at times. And, oh, Lord. But you know what? God says it all matters. I want you to live for me. And He's okay with that you're at work. He's in construction on you. Some of us, we need to turn the table saw on. And it has to run for a long time. We were at the Juana's when we were working on the car over here. Appreciate Richard. He's working on we're going to have that race and all that kind of stuff. Richard, how long would it take me to sand all of that off the car? I mean, I'd still be doing it next year. But Richard takes it and he's... And man, there's a car kind of there. Well, you know what? God works that way in some things in our life, and He helps us along. Some things He just needs to cut off. How many of us just need God to help us cut something off? Give me an amen on that one. I'm glad He sands me. I'm glad He polishes me. I'm glad He can, in that kind of way. And guess what? The person right next to you may be the one that helps you cut the darn thing off. You know, because, you know, we got things in our life that aren't helping. But God is patient. Man, He's such a loving Lord. How many of us would be as patient as God is? You can't even be patient with your 5-year-old child. Oh, bless my patience with them. They're 5. You're 45, and God's still going, I'm going to be patient with you. See, this is what Paul is getting to in here. The good works are in some way, shape, or form to be building up the body of Christ, to growing each other. We do that all over the place, not just on Sunday or Wednesday. We are the church. We live it every day. Your attendance isn't what it's about. It's about whether you're recognizing what you're building. That's what he's talking about here. We do it every day. Back to 1 Corinthians. Let me show you what he says here at the end of verse 10. Look what he says at the end of verse 10, 1 Corinthians. He says this. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. Now that's the imperative in the text. Did you know that? That's the command that's in there. It's not a suggestion. Blepo in the Greek, to see, to look intently, to pay attention to. Look at me, you guys. God says, each one of you, pay attention to what the heck you're doing and what you're building upon. You need to pay attention. You need to see in your own life, what are you building? And now I know you are just like me. Sometimes I think I'm building my own kingdom, in my own comfort, in my own realm of happiness and peace. I know God's got to deal with my heart. I know he has to deal with yours. I need to pay attention how I build. We could look at Ephesians again, but listen to what Ephesians says in Ephesians 4:11. Listen to what God said. God gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Jesus Christ gave to the body of Christ, the church, the family of God, he gave prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He set some foundation things. Some people to share Christ, some people to teach the word of God, some people to shepherd the body of Christ, some people like that. Christ knows what he's doing. He started out this way, and then this is what he says next. To equip the family of God. Well, he wants you to know how to swing the hammer. He wants you to know how to run the saw. Or whatever it is. For the work of service. What's the work of service? Building the building. He says it this way, to the building up of each other in Christ. Till we all attain the unity of faith that comes through the maturity that we get in Christ. I'm paraphrasing that. You see, that's the work. And the building work there, word there also means addition. So people coming to Christ. That's what we're here doing. He'll evaluate. That's what he says at the end here. He'll look at, in the end, what material he used to build. Look at verse 13. He says this. Or verse 12. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones. Put that in your mind. Or wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. Now, the material used, you see it, good, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Isn't that just solely apparent to you? I mean, this isn't hard, is it? When you go through fire, if it's gold, silver, precious stones, it's still there. When you go through fire, this stuff right here isn't there anymore. This is not like a little fire. This is pretty intense heat. What is God saying? It matters. And we all know it matters. So what we're trying to learn is how we want to build your way, Lord, right? I mean, that's what's in the text. That's what he's getting to. The work will be tested by fire. Look at what he says in 13 following. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it's revealed with fire. For the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And you could say what sort of work it was. And if any man's work which he has built on it, what's it? It's the foundation of Christ. It's on the building that God's building. The body of Christ, the church, each other, growing us, maturing each other. This is all the time, being a light of Christ, all of it is. He says, if any of it built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet it's through the fire. Now, no one's going to lose their salvation, but the work of the building is the work of the building up the body of Christ and the work of adding to the church. You do this in your home all the time with your children. What's the work, parents? Trying to get them to see Christ, accept Christ, know Christ, and then to mature and live for Christ. That's the way it is for us every day, and he's connecting us. Hey, this is what we're in together for. You know, is this challenging to see it this way? Does this really challenge us when we look upon our world and we look upon our life and we look upon the things that we look upon, that God's word would talk about it in this way, in this manner? They're really, I mean, this is totally against the world's way, what the world's about. And I know my flesh and your flesh, I know we're challenged in our own flesh to really want to live this way. But here's what God wants us to see in our mind, in the truth of the word of God that is in our mind, that we would renew our mind and that we wouldn't let what the world may say life is about be something that we believe is true. This is true. This is what it's about. This is what will be evaluated. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds that you did in this body and to get recompensed. We won't lose our salvation, but God will take notice. He knows. And he's trying to get across to us in his word that it matters. That's what he's trying to get across in his word that he's talking to us about. I think it's encouraging because it helps me live for what's real and what matters. And I struggle living for what not matters. It matters how I have the attitude and what I present when I teach TiVo. And it isn't about me and my glory. It's about God's. But it matters. It matters how you do the dishes, ladies. Oh, no. But it does, and that's what he's talking about here, and about the church not being divided because they're self-focused and they're prideful. He's trying to get them out of that. Now, the topic of rewards is big, and for another time. But I want you to get this from the text. I want you to get Paul's point. God takes real serious notice of what you're living for now. So much so that it's recognized in heaven forever. Isn't that incredible? God takes such notice of what you're living for now, what you're building for now, that it's recognized in heaven forever. That's a long time. And that's what he's getting across in here. It matters. It's recognized in heaven forever. God rewards it. God's serious about us building. Look at 16 and 17 as we move along here. He's serious about it. Listen to what he says. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man destroys the temple, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that's what you are. That's Ephesians 2, 21 and 22 again, right? I want you to grab when he says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. He's talking to Living Word Fellowship, us, corporately. Do you not know, look at me, you guys, do you not know that if anybody corrupts the family of God, that if anybody corrupts or ruins or destroys the body of Christ, the church that God is building in this world, do you not know that God takes that very seriously and he destroys them? I'm not going to get into what that is or when that is, but do you hear the seriousness of that text? This isn't a game, guys. This isn't about I like this song and I like this thing and I don't like this thing and I don't. That's not what this is about. It's not about that. It's about us representing the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation to our life in this world till he comes back and gets us again and then he fixes it all. I'm being very simplistic in that. And this isn't about what I like or what you like or what we like. This is about what God desires. That's what this is about. And I don't know about you, but I know my own heart. I really have to work hard on that. This isn't about what I want. How about you? I think we talked about it in Sunday school today. I have to ask the Lord to help me, to humble me, to humble myself, to humble me that I don't make this life, what these things are, what I have, what I don't have, what I get to do, what I don't get to do about me. It's about the glory of God. And this church in Corinth is all about them. And Paul is addressing their life in that way. And I'm not trying to be harsh, and I'm not trying to be negative. This is the context of the text. And you know what? God is at work in our life, and I know we always don't live for ourselves, and we live for the Lord, and we serve, and all the things that we're doing. But here God is wanting us to recognize that we have to, God is serious about this. We don't have time, but one time, take a look at all of the different do you not knows in 1 Corinthians alone. God is saying, I know you know. So we must build according to his plan, is what Paul says. Look at 1 Corinthians 18 through 20, and he helps us to just see what is according to his plan. We got to build according to his plan, not according to ours. And listen to what he says. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he's talking about human wisdom. We've been over this many times. Hey, don't deceive yourself. If you think you're smart, let me put it in the context of vernacular how we talk today. Hey, don't deceive yourself. If you think you're humanly smart, you better become moronic. That's what he said. And so God can teach you so you have some God wisdom. Because if you think you're humanly smart and you got human philosophies and human reasonings of what this world is about, look at what God says in 19. The wisdom of the world is foolishness before God, for it's written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise. They are, what's that word say? You know your human philosophy, human reasonings, human, you know, ingenuities, those kind of things about why we're here and what we're here for? God says, man, throw those out. They're an obstacle. They're useless. If you don't seek God's wisdom and God's truth on the way that you're living your life and what you're living your life for, you're living by your own human reasoning, human wisdom, and you won't live for the purpose of God. You'll live for your own things. And God says that's, hey, pretty strong message in here, isn't it? On what he's talking about. Now, again, this church is like way off in some things. But for us here today, God's plan is according to his wisdom, his divine revelation. He's given us the Holy Spirit to understand it. You know what gets in the way? Pride. It's the first and foremost thing. The other things do, we talked about a little bit, but it's just pride. And that's what's in the way. I told you before in the book of 1 Corinthians, the number one theme, the number one thing talked about in this book is pride. And so just recognizing, we must build according to his plan, and we won't see his plan if we don't get our pride out of our heart and mind. And then he finishes with this, and I can close with this. We must build, I wrote with the right motive, and I want to be careful there. Probably with the right purpose would be better to put there. Because motives are hard to see, and we're not to judge each other's motives and that kind of thing. And Paul isn't really judging their motives. He's seeing that what they're living for in Corinth is for the wrong purpose. And look at verse 21, and this will just really hit it home for us, and I'll tell you what he says. He says this. So then let no one boast in men. The things they were doing there was to exalt men, to lift up people. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. They were lifting each other up, they were lifting themselves up. And I'm going to tell you the struggle, really easy in one word, is they had a real hard time with mine. That was the word they had a hard time with. This is my thing, my way, my thing. That's the what they had a hard time with. And in the text, he says this, and moving along quickly, he says this, hey, let no one boast in men. For all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you. You belong to Christ and Christ belongs to you. You know what he's telling them that for? Because of the word mine. He said, no, it's all your guys'. Romans 8 says, we became heirs of God, heirs of Christ. You know what? Together we're heirs of God and heirs of Christ. It's all his. Why are we saying mine? And when you get prideful in your life, you start, I get an amen on that one? You start thinking my stuff, my thing, my, yeah, I know, God's given you a stewardship over your car and the thing that you have, and he's given it to you. But guess what? This isn't my church. Tom, this isn't your church, is it? It's the one you attend. You're part of it. It's our church, right? And Pastor Craig and all the other elders, and then you. It's not my ministry. It's our ministry. Now, I know you would be in charge of it and be leadership of it, and so in that way, a stewardship over it. So in that way, it is, you're the leader. You're the steward over it, but God has given it to us. That's what he's getting across in the text. And when you start forgetting that God has given all of this to us, for us to be a steward over it, for us to be building the building, for us to be living for the Lord. You start seeing mine, division first starts. It just divides. And that's what's going on there. And so we have to know our own hearts. We have to know our own minds and what we're building. Is it the glory of God or the glory of us? And that's what Paul's getting to. I'm going to kind of shortchange that and close with this. Go ahead and have the praise team come up. I want to do the closing song, too. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3:8. I want you to look at this as the final thing. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. But I want to close with what we talked about today. You guys saw the construction, and I didn't get to cover everything, but you see the heart here of God and what he's talking to us about. For us to recognize that our life is valuable and meaningful each and every day, and God's going to recognize it. There's not going to be like, you know, days that didn't have any value. Each one does. And I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 3:8, and we'll close with this. The beginning of the verse says this in verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. That's the same deal, you guys, that we've been talking about construction workers. He who plants, he who waters are one. That's the same deal. It's just a different metaphor. Hey, he who builds and he who drives the hammer and he who holds the board are one, but the one who holds the board is in more danger because thumb's in the way. But that's what he's saying. Now listen to what he says.
But each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. I love that passage. I love that passage. Because I won't receive my reward according to my success. Boy, is that different than the world. It's not about how successful you are here. It's about what you labored for. The success is up to him. The success is up to what he's doing in life and what he has planned and purposed in your life. He's seeing the effort, and he's going to reward it in heaven. It might, in the eyes of the world, fail here. Boy, isn't that different in our heart and mind. Boy, we evaluate everything according to what it looks like. God says, I see the heart, I just reward according to the labor. That encourages me so much. Is it you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning and for the encouragement of it. And thank you, Lord, that each day matters and that you have a plan and purpose and that your grace and your mercy cover us when we, live for our own selves. And when, you know, we all own up to the Lord that sometimes we, more than we would like to, even acknowledge that we build with the wood, hay, and straw. But you're gracious and merciful in our life, and that you are just trying to guide and lead us to live a life that's fruitful in your eyes and in your heart. So we know our own hearts. We know ourselves. We know what we labor for. We don't want to be deceived. We ask you, Lord, that you would prompt our heart and mind and our lives to just approach each day as a gift from you, to live for something other beyond ourselves. That you would help us just see that each day. You will transform our lives if we'll just see that. That today is that way, and then when we get up tomorrow, and then we go about the things that we have to do, work and raising families and school and all the things that we have, that it matters to you how we live our life and what we live for. Thank you for that gracious gift. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand and sing the closing song.